Hello, beautiful people. My name is Ben Piccini. Welcome to Radical Civility. Today, I want to talk to you about Upworthy. I've made 10 of these episodes. I'm having a really fun time. And I am now at the stage where it's time to decide whether I want to keep doing this. And the answer is I do. It's been a total blast. I'm having a hoot. I think only a few of my friends are really enjoying it as much as I am, and that's okay. But I'm enjoying it, and so I'm going to keep going. So I want to talk to you about Upworthy because as I was thinking about this, I want to differentiate what I want to do, what we want to do at Radical Civility from what has been done. And I think Upworthy is a really good example of this, how I want to be different. It's going to feel like a little bit of a swipe, and maybe some of it is. I think Upworthy can handle it. They're the big boys on the block. I'm a nobody. But I also mean what I say. And so as much as it, you know, it isn't meant to be an unkind swipe, but I do want to name some things that I felt about Upworthy. But the primary purpose is to differentiate, is to say, this is what they do, and that's fine, and that is what it is. But this is what I want to do, and this is different. So let me take you over to Upworthy really quick. So this is Upworthy. So if you're listening on the podcast, you can go to Upworthy anytime. You'll probably see the same kind of spread. So today's is Monterey Bay Aquarium set up a live cam on their otters. So now this is what we're doing all day. And it's, you know, it's cute. You can go on and watch otters playing with each other at a zoo. And that's just adorable. So that's great. You can see Jimmy Fallon staying in the roots, made an epic at-home version of Don't Stand So Close to Me. Again, just kind of cool, fun. And my personal favorite is down here. Hamilton cast members, who are doing a lot of really fun stuff lately, performed a perfect pandemic parody, The Zoom Where It Happens, which I think is just absolutely amazing. I haven't actually watched the parody, but even just the fact that they came up with that, that's pretty hilarious. And I'm a big fan of that. So why would I possibly have a problem with Upworthy? Well, the first one is, and I don't think that this is too cynical of a take. When I first heard of Upworthy, I was like, this is amazing. What a great idea. We need more positivity in the news. And then I kept listening to their articles or reading their articles. And what I tended to find was that they were consistently happy news and good storytelling about how good humanity is from a left perspective, from a progressive perspective. And there was something about it that felt to me a little bit emotionally manipulative, a little bit like, here's a good story, now keep listening to us. And then I would find, you know, six or seven of the stories would just be feel good stories. And then one or two would be like, and here's why you need to be progressive. And at first I felt really bad saying like, it feels a little manipulative. Like, I think they're trying to, you know, this is politics wrapped up in good feely stuff. Until I actually learned a little bit more about it. And I don't think is a conspiracy theory. So the Upworthy Wikipedia page says, Upworthy is a website dedicated to positive storytelling. I'm on board. That sounds great. We need more positivity. It was started in March 2012 by Eli Pariser, the former executive director of Move On, and Peter Coachley, sorry if I'm mispronouncing the names, the former managing editor of The Onion. So that's exactly how it feels. It feels like The Onion. It's humor that is genuinely hilarious. I'm talking about The Onion now. The Onion is genuinely hilarious from a left-wing perspective. And it pushes, whether intentionally or not, I don't know, but it very much pushes a left perspective. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I know a lot of people do. But I don't think that The Onion is primarily meant just as humor. And I don't think Upworthy is primarily meant just as feel-good. I think it is meant to be advocacy quietly. And that to me does feel like a little bit of a problem. So number one, I think you've got to be a little bit more honest about it. And I intend to be. So Radical Civility is absolutely going to have an editorial position. Our goal is to improve the conversation, but that doesn't mean that we don't have something to say in the conversation either. And our political position is probably best described as politically homeless, like centrist, maybe center-right, if you really wanted to say that. Don't confuse that for right-wing, because it's not. In fact, center-right to me at this point basically means not the left and definitely not the right. I just don't really know where else it fits. Enlightenment, rationality, mixed with old-style liberal values from the Enlightenment, right? What we're talking about is free trade and free ideas and economically free people. Not quite as hardcore as libertarianism. There is a role for government and it needs to be done well. But rule of law and checks and balances and that kind of stuff, that's what we believe in. So how am I different if I share, you know, cute little pictures of my kids? Because if I'm sharing cute little pictures of my kids, it's not so that you vote a certain way at the end of the day. So that's the first differentiator. And now that I've said all of that, I am actually going to show you an adorable little post that my brother, or not my brother, my son sent. So my son sends this picture. Well, he sends me a text message on my wife's phone to me, and it's this. Let me see if I can get it up here. Okay, so there it is. And he sends it to me, and I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. Why did you send me that? And he goes, I sent you a coronavirus. So now look closer. See if you can, let me try and put it in the center of the screen. Oh, it went dark. Let me see if I can try that again. Right there near the center is a little green virus looking thing. I said, son, why on earth would you send me a coronavirus? And he said, because I want all the people to get better. I don't know why sending me a text message with a coronavirus looking thing made him think that, but it was adorable and cute. But when I first was thinking about sharing that on the podcast, I was like, is that emotionally manipulative? And so here's what I've settled on. First, everything is emotionally manipulative. There's no way around it. The best that I can do is tell you, hey, this is just a cute story. There's no strings attached. But like, I am trying to convince you of things. I am trying to persuade you that my view is better. And I'm going to try and be as transparent about it as I can. But this isn't a feel-good story in order to get you to think like I do. When I'm trying to persuade you, you'll know I'm not very subtle. That really is just a feel-good story so that you can think that my son is cute. And that's it. And that's great. So that's the first way that I want to be different from Upworthy. The second way is like Upworthy was just very well known for being clickbaity, and I'm not going to do that. And like, they had such bad, like, this woman hadn't seen her husband in 10 years. Click to find out what happened next. And there was this movement for a while that was called End Clickbait. And it was like, what they would do is they would take the end of the story and post it as the first comment, which is a little bit evil and absolutely hilarious. And then they would hashtag End Clickbait. And it would be like, yep, she found him. And that's it, right? Like, that's the whole story. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. But now you don't need to click. That's why it's clickbait. It's just meant to get you to click through. So I think their style is not what I want to do either. I'm not interested in clickbait. In fact, if anything, I'm interested in the opposite, which is how can I convey as much information as possible so you don't have to click through on anything? You can just leave with a few more insights under your belt. The thing that I've shared as Radical Civility that's gone the most viral was actually a Venn diagram, just saying, hey, people can be worried about the economy and also people dying from COVID at the same time. And I don't think there's anything clickbaity about it. The only thing that you can use that for is to say, look, this is something you can add to the conversation. I think that's why it caught on. So that's number two, is we're kind of the anti-clickbait, or at least we're trying to. In fact, we're trying to cram as many insights as possible into the fewest words possible. All right, third reason. This is the hardest one to explain and probably the meanest sounding, so I apologize. If you want to watch otters, and I've definitely had those days, by all means be my guest. I'm not trying to critique you. But it's cheap therapy, right? And I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that. But what there is something wrong with, let me try and put it in a different perspective. So I'm a big fan of theology. I find it fascinating, even if it's not my own theology, right? Even if I don't necessarily agree with another church, I just find it really interesting to talk about. And there are some topics that are just weird, and they're really arcane and esoteric and Byzantine, and nobody really knows even why it's important. I once stumbled into a Catholic friend and an Orthodox friend discussing, and I'm not even going to remember it. It's a line from one of the creeds that they understand differently. And it's like one of the longest running debates in Christendom. And it's, you know, more than a millennium old, and they were just going at it. And, you know, I was just kind of laughing. I was like, this is so fascinating. I put on my anthropology hat and just had a blast and listened to them duke it out. All of which is great. But a friend of mine put it this way. He said, you know, those are the really fun theological Twinkies. And that phrase stuck with me. It's really fun. It's fun to consume. But it doesn't actually do anything for you. Doesn't make you a better person. Doesn't bring you closer to God. It's just kind of fun. It's fun for fun's sake. Well, I think Upworthy is emotional Twinkies, right? It is emotional junk food. It feels good in the moment, but it doesn't actually change anything about who you are. Radical Civility wants to take the anti-populist take, right? We are trying to do something a little bit deeper. Right now, I think there are a lot of voices that will give you exactly what you're looking for. So if I go to the internet and I say, I want cat videos, you'll find a bajillion of them. If you want cute otter videos, you can find them at Upworthy anytime. What we're trying to do is, yeah, there may be an occasional cute story about my son, But what I'm really trying to do here is go a little bit deeper and say, okay, yes, like occasionally we'll give you some Twinkies or some Jell-O, but we're also trying to give you some fruits and vegetables. And what that means is there are going to be times when, you know, I'm a big believer in the social moderate idea. And I've already talked about that, where like, actually, I think one of the best things that we can do is think about what is in our power and do that first. That Upworthy has a lot that it has to offer, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't. But when you do see something that's a little bit more political, it's always kind of either an outrage factory or a somebody should do something kind of a factory. This feeling of like, I can't believe this hasn't happened already. And I want to flip that on its head. We're the ones that have the power. We're the ones that can change things. That's what I want to see. So, put its leftism to the side. If they were a right-wing group that were doing the same thing, and there are plenty of news organizations that do the same thing, that they're clickbaity and, you know, they're kind of surface level and a little bit shallow in their coverage. But, it's not about the ideological position. It's about how long-term nourishing is this stuff. And what that means is like, if I'm as boring as vegetables, that's fine. I'm not going to be as viral. And that's kind of not the point. Because I don't want to be Takis or Doritos, right? My hope is that I can be something a little bit more nourishing over the long term. And specifically, the goal is about dialogue. And like, nothing feels better than just yelling at your opponent and telling them they're an idiot or they're wrong or they're a Nazi or that they're Satan. There is a better way. And the better way is to be restrained and thoughtful and civil and kind. And so like, I'm not here to tell you, oh, don't worry. Punch a Nazi or, you know, like tell your neighbor they're an idiot and they're wrong. And if somebody voted for Trump, then they're horrible and you shouldn't talk to them. Or if somebody voted for Trump, like, good job. Trump is awesome. He's the Messiah. Like I'm not there for either of those. I'm here to try to improve the conversation. And what that means is most of the time saying, hey, here's the kind of person that you ought to be. Here's the kind of person that you can be. I mean, the one problem with that is nobody likes the preachy guy. So sorry. Fortunately, you five listeners of mine probably just won't have to listen to it that close. There's a story that I heard once that I'll close with. And I think I feel bad stealing it because it's such a powerful story. And I can't remember. I remember where I heard it, but I can't remember who actually gave it. In fact, it might have been a professor of mine in college. He talked about how he was feeding the horses, and what you could do is, you know, you'd have a bucket filled with the horse food, and if you would shake it, they could hear it from far, far away, and they'd come running. And one day, he decided he was just a little bit too tired to actually go and fill it up with food, but he needed the horses for some reason, so he just put some rocks and dirt in it and shook the bucket. So the horses come running. They look in the bucket. They immediately know that it's dirt and not food. And they get really angry and they lose trust and they don't come running the next time or the next time or the next time or the next time. And it takes many, many, many repeated reconditioning for the horses to again start to learn that no, the bucket has food in it. I don't think that Upworthy is trying to be the false bucket, right? I don't think that's what it is at all. But I do think it's trying to appeal to the part of us that needs something uplifting. And it's trying to use that for political purposes. And that's something I disagree with. I hope that what you get from Radical Civility is a little bit nourishing. Because as I look at the dialogue that we see as a country, there are a lot of things that I could say, but that it's nourishing is not one of them. So, thanks for letting me yammer. This was probably more important for me to say in the development of my podcast than it is probably for you to hear. So I appreciate you sticking it out and listening through. Anyway, I found it helpful, so I hope you did too. Radical Civility is written, produced, and edited by Benjamin Pacini. The views in Radical Civility are not necessarily the views of my faith, my views are my own, and they're not anybody else's, and I hope I get smarter. There we go. That was a little easier. I used to write it down. I'm not even doing that anymore. Bye, everybody.